We're talking about preventative maintenance in marriage. If that's not David Tant sitting back there, I'll kiss you. Oh, my goodness. Whew, what a trade places. Anyway, we need to do some teaching before young people get married, way before they get married, and so that they'll have an idea of what marriage is really about. Somebody says, I'll start coming with you after we get married. I'll start coming to... How many times have we heard that lie? It's not going to happen. Be sure to take your time. And I usually entitle this lesson, Get the Divorce Before the Marriage. Okay? Some girls need to drop kick these guys so far away from them. I don't want to see you again. You see, you get the idea. When you're educated, you see what's wrong with this guy before you make the mistake of marrying him. As we said earlier, too many fall in lust with one another, and they don't know what love is about at all. We must know the warning signs. You know, when Judy and I moved back to Indiana, the Bureau of Motor Vehicles made sure we knew the rules of the road. They gave us a book, said, you know the rules or you don't get a drive. Well, we wanted to drive, and we were scared to death like a couple teenage kids getting that first driver's license. Oh, me taking that test. So we studied hard because we wanted to drive. When we know how important marriage is, and it's not how it's depicted in the movies and books and television. First of all, you be a faithful Christian yourself. You be what you ought to be. You be active in the Lord. Well, he's always there. She's always there. Does that mean they're what they ought to be? Does that mean they're a good Bible student? And marry a faithful Christian, somebody who's going to help you to get to heaven. That's what Judy and I talked about. We want somebody to help us to get to heaven. We don't need somebody dragging us down. Talking to a young fellow, he was thinking about getting married. He said, Mo, he said, I want to find a girl that's faithful, that's a good Bible student, that loves God and wants to go to heaven. And we'll call him Steve because that was his name. It wasn't this one. And I said, Steve, you find a girl like that, she won't want you. Should I have told him that? I said, she's going to have to drag you out of bed on Sunday morning and beg you to go to church on Wednesday night because you're not here like you ought to be. And a few years after that, he thanked me for telling him what I told him. He needed to hear that. And thankfully, he straightened himself up, and he did marry a girl like that. The girl he'd wanted to marry wouldn't have married him had he stayed like he was. So you be a faithful Christian. And parents should be teaching this sort of thing. David said in Psalm 127 in verse 1, Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that do build it. You and God are a majority. You and your spouse together and God will make a wonderful marriage. Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with about verse 4, that parents are to teach these things to their children. When? When they lie down, when they rise up, when they're walking by the way, keep it ever before them. Keep whatever before them. Keep this before them. Keep God's word before your children. Don't let there ever be a day when they say, you know, I don't remember that. Sister Irvin Lee told us her mother was both mother and father to her. Her dad had died early. And this was during the Depression. And I think there were four or five girls, and she said, I can't remember ever not knowing the stories of the Bible. Well, when did your mom have time? She took in washing and ironing to make money to live. She said she sat us around the ironing board before we were old enough to do it. She sat us around the kitchen table before we were able to do dishes, and she taught us these wonderful stories. What do we let babysit our kids today? Buttons, television, see? And we think we're doing them a favor. Go to your room and What are they studying? What are they looking at? Nothing that has to do with God. Keep it ever before them, God said, because they won't be forever with you. Abby won't always be in your arms, kids. Okay? One of these days, she's waving by now, how sweet it is. One day she'll wave by to you. And prepare yourself for that day, okay? It'll be hard enough when it comes, and if you don't prepare, and you're going to rear her to do that, okay? You're going to rear her to leave the nest, okay? Make sure she makes, our daughter, Tina, tells her kids every day, on the way to school, these words, make good choices. Every day, make good choices. And don't say, oh, I've got plenty of time. No, you don't. I thought my little three stair-step children will always be with us. It doesn't happen. And then the emptiness comes. Don't be like Eli. He knew what his children were doing. And he said, now don't you boys do that. But the Bible says he didn't restrain. He restrained them not. If a talking doesn't do it, then there needs to be some restraint. It's not pleasant for parent or child, but do it. The Bible warns over and over, and that's a whole other lesson. Remember Eunice and Lois and their unfeigned faith that Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. And that from a child, an infant, Timothy had known the Holy Scriptures, chapter 3 and verse 15. From his youth, he had known the Holy Scriptures. Be a praying home. Be a home that is filled with prayer. And let your children see you praying and not say, oh, here comes the kids, let's pray. No. Let them know that you pray to God and that you thank God for the blessings He gives you. Let them hear you. Let them see you. My mother, who had a third grade education, taught herself to read. You know what book she learned to read on? Right here. Her dad and two brothers were alcoholics. Her two brothers died in their early 40s. Not pleasant. She could have turned out to be a serial killer. Yeah. Oh, she'd look at her. She didn't have a chance. But instead, she became a Bible student. And I remember as she came home, she'd have to get up at 4:30 in the morning, get home at 3:30 in the afternoon, worked a physical job all day, had to cook us supper when we got home, and her Bible would be on the table, open. And her little kitchen was so close, or was so small, that the chicken popped on her Bible on the table. That's how close it was. What a wonderful example that was to see. Come home and there's Mom, and she's got flour on the Bible and reading her scriptures, and the chicken's cooking right behind her. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever fill my soul. Yeah. And everybody's not blessed like that. So be a praying and a godly home. Be parents that your children can respect. You know, we do what we want to do. If I want something badly enough, I will save up to get it. People want to go somewhere badly enough, they'll do what it takes to get there. And not make excuses. Let them see you giving your life to God. Isn't that what God said about Abraham in Genesis 18, verse 19? I know Abraham. I know what he'll do. He'll teach his children. How you doing? How you doing, Mo? How'd you do? Am I going to be held accountable? Shake my head this way. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I need to be a studying individual, a praying and a giving individual. I need to be one who attends every service that is possible. My dad was totally disabled in World War II. I mean, totally. I saw him go to services when I didn't know how he went, with headaches that were unbelievable. You didn't have to ask him if he had it. You could just see it. That's the influence I grew up under. Let your children see real spirituality. What's it take to keep you from services? Well, the ball game wasn't over. What? I told people, I said, I'll tape the game for you. if it means that much to you. Come over and you can have the copy. Let them see real spirituality in you. Be friendly with the people at church. You know, sometimes we don't speak to one another. And it's hard to love somebody, isn't it, David? That you just shake in and shake out. Good to see you. Goodbye. See you Wednesday. See you. We're missing our best friends. And I'm so glad to see you all clinging to each other, hanging around after services. That's such a wonderful thing. You can find out one another's needs and necessities. And you can be there and you can help. And you can be together like we were all afternoon. That's the kind of example that we ought to be. Worshipped at one congregation, a young lady was 30, well, she was 35 years old. That's young, isn't it? Wow. I thought I was old at 35. She said, we'd been at this congregation about 6 months, and she came to me and she said, "Brother Hafley, who is that over there?" I said, "You've been here all your life and you don't know who she is? She's been here that many years and you don't know her? You never introduced yourself to her? I've been here 6 months and I'm having to tell you who she is? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with this picture?" Well, there's danger signs in dating. And parents, you need to tell your children. And children, you need to know these things. Does this person that you're dating, do they lie? I knew some young ladies that said, "Mom, I'm going over to Susie's." When they didn't intend to go to Susie's. By the way, I told my mom, "Dad, I was going somewhere." And where I was, they got a call. "Yes, Marie, he's here." Okay. Mm-hmm. They'd be finding out for sure where I was. And there were some places that I asked to go, and I don't know how they knew. And they said, "You're not going." They had a backbone. They had a spine. And taught me right was right and wrong was wrong always. Does this person you're dating, do they lie? Do they lie to their parents? If they lie to your parents, they'll lie to you. They'll lie to you. So Mark put that down as one of the things to look out for. The devil lied to Jesus, didn't he? He promised him everything. Do you think the devil would have given Jesus all the kingdoms of the world? What do you think? Ain't going to happen. No, sir. If there's no cross for Jesus, then there's no crown for us, is there? We lose a Savior. Joseph's brothers lied to their father. See what a liar can do? "My dad told me with his finger right in my face, that's one thing I will not put up with." And I was just a little boy. He was bending down and telling me, "I'll not put up with a liar." And we need to make believers out of our children. David lied to Uriah, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Judas, the betrayer, did he lie to Jesus? Yes, in a way. "Lord, is it I?" And Peter, Matthew 26, 74. "I don't know the man." Three times he said, "I don't know the man." Did he lie? Yea, verily. Honesty is not only the best policy, it's the only policy. Colossians 3 and verse 9, "Lie not one to another." Do not lie. Put away lying, Paul says, 4:25 of Ephesians, and throw away the key. Well, if I tell a lie, that'll cover my tracks. Maybe for now. But one thing about telling the truth, what? You don't have to remember what you said. You tell the truth. You don't have to worry about getting caught in that lie. In Proverbs 13 and verse 5, a righteous man hates lying. Revelation 21 and verse 8, all liars have their part in the lake of fire. Isn't there a black and white lie? Doesn't the Bible talk about those? No. All liars. All liars. David said one Verse 163 of Psalm 119, I hate and abhor lying. Don't put up with it. Don't put up with it. I don't care how pretty she is, how popular he is at school. If he started lying in his youth, he will continue it and it will destroy your love. It will end up hurting you. Drinking and drugs is another sign in today's world. But who doesn't? Who doesn't drink? Who doesn't do drugs? I think if I did, I wouldn't be with her. I don't think it. I know it. She'd have said, pew, you gone. You are out of here. And could we give you statistics? I got two pages of statistics that will tell you how dangerous it is. But the Bible already tells you that. How foolish it is, Proverbs 20 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 23, on and on we could go. You don't want to deal with the drunkard. You don't want the heartbreak. You don't want the expense. You don't want the loss of job and perhaps even murder on a highway. It used to be 25,000 people died on the highway due to people drinking. And you know, my uncles, they're the very ones who said, I'm not drunk. Been there, saw that. Solomon said, who hath wounds without cause, redness of eyes? And who will seek it again tomorrow? They will. You can have your stomach removed. It will. It's a slow death, lingering death in some cases. DUI, jail time, lost job, lost love, arguments, fussing and fighting. Families that are still paying for it. My cousins are still paying for it. Let me tell you this. My uncle moved to get away from us, clear out to Maine. My mom and dad followed him out there. Two little girls, 10 and 8 years old. When my mom and dad finally found him without a GPS, they pulled up in their driveway and that little 10-year-old girl came to my dad's window in the car and said, Uncle Cecil, get us out of here. Away from their mom and dad. And they did. And they did. You don't want any part of it. Mom, dad, teach your children or learn it yourself somehow. Does he or she have a temper? What does it take for them to get mad? Huh? On the highway, we've come up with a new term, road rage. What does that show? Somebody's a heartbeat away from anger, from an explosion, aren't they? What does it take for them to get angry? At whom do they get angry? What does it take? Solomon in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. You know, I never had to ask my mom or dad, are you angry? Mom, are you? That'd be the wrong question, wouldn't it? Yes, sir. You can tell. You know when you're angry. Somebody said your mouth gets dry and your palms get wet. Your heart beats faster, your blood pressure raises, and you get stronger. That's why you don't discipline your children in anger. Okay? That's why you don't do that. Elders are told, one of the qualifications, Titus 1 and verse 7, not soon angry. But we're going to make him an elder anyway. Look out. You're going to pay for that. James in 1:19 said, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Sometimes we reverse all those, don't we? What is this with going back to work after you get laid off or fired and killing people? What is this all about? What are we coming to? What are we rearing? And if he or she gets angry, can they say, I'm sorry? Oh, it used to be funny on when Fonzie couldn't say it. I've forgotten the name of the show now, but Happy Days, yeah, of all things. And he couldn't say he was sorry or that he was wrong. You can't repent of sin, then don't have anything to do with that. David or Paul said, 4:26 of Ephesians, be ye angry and sin not. Yes, you are going to get angry. But pull on the emergency brake. You know you're angry. Watch what you say. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little fist, what you do. If he'll hit a wall, you'll be next. You'll be next. Be careful. How does he or she deal with money? How did it deal with money? Have they been used to having it? Then you're going to have to make enough money to pay for this that they're used to. You'll be so in debt because she can't quit spending. What was it? The girl bought $100,000 worth of debt, took her credit cards away, clipped them up, and finally got, after months and months of sacrifice and extra jobs and paying them off, turned around and did it again. See, and that happens to guys too. Got to have the best of the best. That's all I'm used to. Born with a silver spoon, whatever that means. When our children get old enough, teach them about finances. Teach them what it costs to live. See, so that they, when they marry somebody, they don't ruin their life. Teach them there needs to be an income before there's the outgo, because there's going to be plenty outgoing in there. Taxes and loans and insurance and creditors. Oh, right after we got married, a couple of guys knocked on our door and said, you can afford this. Just pennies a day. And so pride kind of gets in the way and says, well, yeah, we're making $100 a week. We can afford it. As soon as they walked out, we looked at each other and said, we can't afford this. We had 5 days to get that stuff back. We boxed it all up and ran down to their office and dumped it on their office. And we learned. You say yes sometimes, and do they talk you into something? Be careful. Be careful. If he's a big spender or she's a big spender, I'm not saying don't buy anything. But be careful, be careful. Shop for clothes. Well, I'll never go to this cheap store where you... No, I don't want to be caught dead with wearing that stuff. Or to Goodwill. Look out. Look out. I don't go to Aldi's. I just go to get the best stuff. And who's going to pay for this? What is his or her disposition toward money? How do they handle it? Things, greed. Is his money, not ours? Careful. The love of money, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, is the root of all kinds of evil. You'll pierce yourself through with many sorrows. Same context there. You don't want it. And is he used to sweating? How about work? Has he learned to work? We were talking about that this afternoon. Do they know how to work? Have they had everything handed to them? One must work in order to earn money. We had a young fellow a few years ago, got married. Came home one day, said, honey, don't have my job anymore. I said, why? He said, well, they gave me more responsibility and no money, so I quit. And you know that just tickled her to death, didn't it? Quit. Because they gave him more responsibility. I remember asking a girl what she did all summer. Went back to school and said, what'd you do all summer? She's old enough to work. She said, I didn't do anything. You know, lights went on when I heard that. I knew that girl wasn't going to be for me, because this girl, she worked. As soon as she got out of school, she's working. She got her a job. Solomon said, Proverbs 6, verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard. You don't want to marry a sloth. You ever seen a sloth? How, they move so slowly that things grow on them. Lay their eggs on them. Little bugs do. Ooh. And there's some people like that. There's some people like that. Are they moody? Are they happy one day and then, boy, they could chew your head off the next? One moment to the next? We had glass doors at one of the church buildings, like you all do here. And we could always tell this girl, we'll just call her Joyce. And Roger, one of the members, looked out and said, oh. Because you could see Joyce when they backed into their parking spot. That's how she looked. We all looked. There she was. And she came marching right up that to that door, right to her seat. Bam! You know, her husband wanted to be a preacher. Wasn't long after that, she was in the hospital, so she was a captive audience. And I told her, Tom wants to be a preacher. And about 6 weeks into his preaching career, y'all going to be gone. Because you're going to come into the church building like you do here, and they're not going to put up with that. I said, one day you can be as friendly and loving and kind, good old Joyce. But then the next, boom. Look out for that. And it's not only women. It's guys, too. Guys, too. They can be good to everybody but their own family. What's wrong? Watch these things, okay? And then here's something. One preacher a few years ago said, I can't even. He wrote it on the board, S-E-X. He said, I can't even say it. Our young people know about sex. Yes, they do. The Bible tells us about it. And we need to teach them about it. And I asked one mother, I said, did you ever talk to your boys? I think she had five boys. Did you ever talk to your boys? Well, it was obvious that she didn't. And I knew when I asked her that she did. And she said, no, Brother Hapley, I just couldn't. Those boys' marriages were a mess. Sometimes they, with their own brothers' wives. That's how bad it was. You think that did the church any good? Mm-mm-mm. Just couldn't, Brother Hapley. Again, one fellow was out in California. He said a young man pulled up in a driveway, and on the front license plate it said, Californicator. Guy pulls up in your driveway. You let your daughter go out with him? Whew. He gone, isn't he? She doesn't have a chance. I'm going to teach her and him a lesson. A lot of statistics about that. So much we could tell you. Parents, we need to do our training. And make sure that they know what love really is. Be plain, parents, when you talk to your children. Don't beat around the bush and say, yeah, I talked to them. My daughter still remembers. I asked her a year or two ago, I said, honey, you remember when you and I had our little talk? She said, oh, Daddy, I sure do. And they won't forget it. They'll be glad. Too many parents don't do that because we just couldn't. Just couldn't. Well, there's many, many more things that we could talk about. But you've listened patiently. And to let you know that there are some warning signs, some things that we as parents need to teach our children that young people need to know. Okay? I think that's fair. And as we said this morning, there's some things that we say, oh, if I'd only known then what I know now. See? Let your children know now what they need to know now. Your grandchildren, okay? Maybe too late for us older ones with our own children, but we can help our grandchildren, can't we? We can get them in a captive situation. But you know what? Years later, they will not forget. And I know my grandchildren are already making fun of me, as we mentioned this morning. Yeah, Granddaddy gets us in the car. But after they're married and they've slipped rings on their fingers and their spouses, they're going to say, thank you for the warning. There were some that I might have chosen had I not been warned. Made the wrong choice. And in 48 years, they'll still be together if they're living. Or however many years you've been married, you'll still be together. You've come through trials and tribulations because you love each other. You knew what it was. And hardly a family in here escapes without some kind of trials and tribulations. The devil will make sure of that. Let's do all we can to help our children, our grandchildren, and whoever it may be, and even ourselves as we listen to lessons like this. There's another marriage that we need to be a part of, and that is to God, isn't it? Married and faithful to Him. Judah and Israel were unfaithful to God. Did they pay for it? Oh, mightily. With captivity and death, slaughter. And don't let that be said of our souls. You don't want to hear, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." Wow. Like I said earlier, my parents sent me up to my room, but I knew there was going to be a time when that I'd be able to come out. But not there. "Depart from me into everlasting fire." No. No coming back. "I can be good now." Mm-mm. No, it's over. "Arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Is that all I have to do? Wow. Thank you, God. What merciful God there is. That all I have to do, repent of those sins that I've committed, change my life to live for Him, the one who died for me, and go to heaven for an eternity. "What great is your reward," He said, Matthew 5:12. Wow. Beyond belief. If that's the reward you want, won't you respond to it now, right now, while we stand, while we sing, Lord.